Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Diggs. In 2012, the UK experienced one of its wettest years on record. A sequence of low-pressure systems parked themselves over the British Isles and dumped massive volumes of rain across the country. The result? Widespread flooding, weeks of infrastructure disruption, and over £1 billion in damages. If you combed through the forecasts leading up to that event, you'd find something curious. Many of the hydrological models used at the time performed reasonably well according to standard evaluation metrics. RMSE? Acceptable. R-squared? Respectable. Nash-Sutcliffe efficiency? Within range. On paper, the models weren't failing, but in practice, they missed the mark on the only thing that actually mattered, the spike. That extreme flood-generating tail event, you know, that one or two days in the year when water levels surged far above the mean, is precisely where the models broke down. This isn't just a UK flood problem. This is a general failure mode in the machine learning systems that are used for environmental forecasting, disaster risk management, or any domain where prediction quality around the tails of a distribution may carry more weight than accuracy at the center. These models can look solid by most standard metrics, but they fail at the moment you most need them to succeed. The reason is simple. Traditional metrics are not designed to care about the tails. RMSE, MAE, R-squared, even most likelihood-based scores treat each data point as equally important. They optimize for overall fidelity, not impact-sensitive behavior. This means that they can silently overfit to the bulk of the distribution and underperform at the extremes, all while reporting good results. Today's paper tackles that blind spot head-on. The authors propose a new metric called reflective error. It's designed to quantify where your model is going wrong, not just how much. It's an augmentation, not a replacement. It doesn't discard existing metrics, it sits alongside them and asks a different question. Is your error clustered around high probability routine data, or is it concentrated around rare, high impact cases? But this is not just a diagnostic. The authors also adapt it into a loss function. Why? Because this allows you to train models that prioritize performance where it counts, without sacrificing overall stability. On today's episode, we'll start by walking through the motivation behind the metric. Why does this need to exist, and why is it important? Next, we'll look at how it's constructed and how it works in detail. After that, we'll cover how the authors applied it to a real-world forecasting task and how useful or not useful it turned out to be. Let's jump in. If you're evaluating a regression model, especially in environmental modeling or scientific computing, you're probably reaching for root mean squared error, RMSE, or maybe R-squared. These are the default metrics. They're implemented in every major ML library. They're what you log during training, what you use in your plots, and what you hand over to stakeholders as a measure of how good the model is. But as I mentioned above, there's a blind spot. RMSE tells you the magnitude of your model's average deviation, but it's insensitive to where those deviations occur in the distribution. Whether your model is consistently off in the tails or only makes small errors in the mode, RMSE will often return the same score. That's a problem if your application actually cares about getting the extremes right. Take flood prediction, for example. Missing the routine steam flow by a few percent is tolerable. Missing the flood crest by the same amount is operationally unacceptable. RMSE doesn't distinguish between these two cases. It aggregates error over the entire test set without context. So you might train a model that minimizes RMSE and feel satisfied when you achieve a low score, but that great score doesn't mean the model won't be systematically wrong in specific types of situations. You can try to work around this with manual thresholds. Some people slice the data and calculate RMSE or MAE on just the top decile, or look at tail quantile separately. That helps a bit, but now you're introducing arbitrary cutoff points. What's considered extreme? Top 5%? Top 10%? Do you define that globally, per season, per region? The approach invites inconsistency and doesn't scale well across datasets. Another issue? RMSE isn't normalized. It doesn't account for differences in magnitude across systems. This makes it hard to compare performance across datasets with different dynamic ranges. Say you're modeling two rivers, one with a maximum daily discharge of 200 cubic meters per second, another that peaks at 5,000 cubic meters per second. RMSE will be larger for the second river, even if the model captures both equally well on a relative basis. Without normalization, it's hard to tell whether a model is actually better or just operating on a smaller scale. The authors of today's paper argue that we need an error metric that addresses both of these deficiencies. One, it must quantify where the model is wrong, not just how much. And two, it should be scale invariant, so comparisons are meaningful across domains. That's the motivation behind reflective error. So, what is it exactly and how does it work? Reflective error, abbreviated as RE, is designed to be a drop-in companion to metrics like RMSE, but with a critical difference. It exposes how model error is distributed across the output space, not just how much total error there is, but where that error is showing up. The idea is straightforward in theory. Start with standard RMSE, a scalar summary of squared error averaged over all examples. RMSE doesn't care where in the target distribution those errors come from. A mistake near the median gets penalized the same as a mistake in the tail. Reflective error changes that by applying a weight to each point's error, with the weight derived from the empirical probability density function of the target variable. So routine values, those near the peak of the distribution, get weights near zero. Rare or extreme values in the tails get weights near one. The result is a reweighted version of RMSE that amplifies error at the extremes and dampens error on routine data. This weighting function is not hand-tuned. It is automatically constructed from the observed data. You fit a probability distribution to the target values in your training set, then compute a normalized weight for each observation by taking the inverse of that local density. That weight is then applied to the squared error during RE calculation. The function maps each target value to a scalar, 0 to 1, with higher values corresponding to lower density regions of the distribution. By normalizing this relative to the peak density, the authors ensure that RE is unitless and bounded. This has the added benefit of giving RE a nice property. It is comparable across datasets and domains. Unlike raw RMSE, which varies with the scale of the target variable, reflective error is dimensionless. So you can use it to compare model performance across different rivers, different climate zones, different units, etc. If your model is failing on the extremes in one catchment but not another, RE will surface that contrast. In practice, most real-world use cases will see RE values between 0 and 1. A value near zero implies that the bulk of the error is concentrated around high-density regions of the output space. A value near one implies that error is concentrated in the tails. The absolute value doesn't directly indicate magnitude of error. Instead, it provides a profile of where the model is making mistakes. That's the core differentiator. The authors also cover some practical extensions. If your application is only concerned with one side of the distribution, say high rainfall events but not droughts, you can use a one-sided version of the weight function. That lets you ignore the lower tail entirely and just focus the penalty on the part of the distribution that matters. This is particularly useful in cases like flood forecasting where errors on low streamflow predictions might be irrelevant, but underestimating a spike could be catastrophic. All of this sets up a metric that can be used both during model evaluation and inside training pipelines. It is differentiable, tunable, and adaptable to different distribution shapes. And unlike threshold-based metrics that rely on arbitrary cutoffs, RE derives its sensitivity from the shape of the data itself. But does it work? Does it help? Is it useful? To figure that out, the authors constructed a synthetic test case using a one-dimensional normal distribution. The goal here wasn't necessarily to simulate a real-world phenomenon, but to generate controlled conditions under which routine and extreme errors can be isolated and compared. This gave them a direct look at what the metric actually detects and how its sensitivity differs from RMSE or R squared. Here's the setup. They generated 500 values sampled from a distribution centered at 3.5 with a standard deviation of 0.75. This became the ground truth target vector. Then for the baseline model, they added a small amount of noise, mean 0, standard deviation 0.1, to simulate a decent but imperfect predictor. The RMSE for this baseline comes out to about 0.2. R squared is 0.92, and the reflective error is 0.54. Next, they define two perturbation scenarios. In both cases, they take the same base model, but selectively inject additional noise into different parts of the data. The first is the routine error case. They add a large error to the 100 points closest to the mean of the distribution. The second is the extreme error case. They add that same magnitude of noise, but this time to the 100 points farthest from the mean. Here's what happens. The RMSE for both cases increases as expected. It rises to 0.48 for the routine error case and 0.49 for the extreme error case. R squared drops slightly in both, but importantly, these two metrics cannot distinguish where the error was added. They react similarly in both scenarios. Reflective error does not. In the routine error case, RE drops. In the extreme error case, it rises. That difference in RE, despite nearly identical RMSE values, shows that the metric is doing exactly what it's supposed to. It's assigning more weight to the tails of the distribution and correctly identifying whether the additional error is coming from high probability regions, that's routine, or low probability regions, the extremes. This also highlights a subtle but important point. The metric is not measuring the magnitude of error. It is measuring the distribution of error relative to the empirical density of the target variable. Two models can have the same RMSE and wildly different RE, and vice versa. That decoupling is what makes reflective error useful as a diagnostic tool. It gives practitioners an orthogonal signal, one that doesn't say how wrong your model is, but tells you where those errors are concentrated. So overall, I'd say their crafting of and implementation of RE was a success. It appears to be a clean, well-motivated contribution to a real and persistent gap in how regression models are evaluated. It works across domains, supports both stationary and non-stationary distributions, and can be extended into a loss function for training. The key takeaway here is that you don't need to replace RMSE or R-squared, but you should augment them, especially if you're building models that are deployed in high-risk, low-frequency contexts where the standard metrics can lie by omission. If you're working on environmental forecasting, anomaly detection, finance, or even system observability tools that prioritize tail behavior, this paper is worth a read. It includes the full implementation details and shows how to tune a loss function with custom alpha and beta parameters. If you want to experiment with reflective error in your own pipeline or train with it directly, then I'd certainly recommend that you download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. This episode was written and performed by myself, Malcolm Diggs, and it was produced by Luis Lopez. Hope you enjoyed it. Signing off, see you tomorrow.